I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
MSW Media.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Beans for Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. Today, Nancy Pelosi vetoes the Jims from the 1-6 committee, Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, and McCarthy throws a predictable temper tantrum. Republicans block a vote on their own weak-ass infrastructure bill. Yesterday, it was the GOP chair from Massachusetts. Today, it's the GOP chair of Florida is under investigation for sexual harassment. Louisiana lawmakers failed to override the governor's veto of their bill that would have banned trans girls in sports. And a federal judge blocks the Arkansas anti-trans bill banning trans youth treatments. I'm Allison Gill.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
All right, everybody, welcome. We've got some really good news for the transgender community today that I'm excited to go over.
And you're always so sweet because you leave it for me. And not that you should. I just think it's something you do. And I think it's very generous.
Well, I want to, you know, because you always have the last story. And I always want the last story to be a good one to sort of put us into the good news mood. So
well done.
That's just sort of how it works out.
You're just a giver. You're a giver for me. You're a giver for the listeners.
I'll also be I have a really, really great surprise today for everybody. Lincoln's Bible is going to be joining us. She's the host of the World Beneath podcast and, you know, longtime Twitter friend. Everybody, I think, is aware and follows Lincoln's Bible that listens to this program. If not, definitely give her a follow on Twitter. We're going to be talking in depth about the breadth of the Barrack indictment, that Tom Barrack indictment, which has got far-reaching implications. So we have a really, really great show for you today. And today I canceled finally all my USAA policies, my insurance policies with USAA. The lady was like, can I ask, you know, because I always ask like why you're canceling.
They ask why. You're like, yeah.
And I'm like, sure. Because you advertise on Fox News and because you're
good for you.
Funding PACs and the GOP and members of which the Sedition Caucus belong. And she's like, ah. But then she tried to say, you know, we don't have any control over what shows
are you do
commercial. I'm like, I just signed a marketing agreement. They cleared every single show with me before I said what shows I advertise on. So that's not true. And she's like, well, I agree with you. And then she just, you know, went on to cancel my policy.
Yeah. And you're like, is this being recorded for quality purposes? Because if so, expect a phone call from HR.
Right. Yeah. So she's like, well, I'm really sorry you're leaving us. I'm like, yeah, me too. I've been there for a long time, decades.
Money talks. AG, I'm proud of you. Good convictions.
So I recommend everybody else do that too. If you have a USAA policies. In fact, I got much cheaper policies elsewhere. So, I have a surprise guest for the Fantasy Indictment League on this Sunday's Mueller, She Wrote. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I bet you can guess. All right. So we have a lot of news to get to. So let's do it. Let's hit the hot notes.
Hot notes.
All right. Lead story. House Republicans balked at participating in the House committee that's investigating the January 6th insurrection on Wednesday after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected two of the five Republicans House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy had tapped for the panel, Jim Banks and Jim Jordan. Her decision to reject the two Republicans and McCarthy's response to pull the rest of his members injected new fuel into the partisan fight.
Such a fucking child.
I know, over the select committee that's been raging since Democrats. This is such hyperbole here from CNN. Raging since Democrats created the panel last month to investigate the circumstances surrounding the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Now, let's keep in mind, Nancy wanted to put forth a bipartisan commission. Kevin McCarthy wrote a letter saying, I want this and this and this and this and this. Nancy did all those things.
Yep.
Then they voted against it anyway, their own thing that they asked for. And now he's taken his ball and going home. So, you know, as they like to say, the committee will still have Republican representation from one member, Liz Cheney of Wyoming. And we know who she is. Cheney's participation keeps the committee bipartisan, even without anyone appointed by McCarthy. Pelosi's move to reject Jim Jordan and Jim Banks gives House Republicans an avenue to attack the select committee as a partisan endeavor. McCarthy slammed the move shortly after it was announced Wednesday. Unless Speaker Pelosi reverses course and seats all five Republican nominees, Republicans will not be party to their sham process and will instead pursue our own investigation of the facts.
Yeah.
Now, that's how CNN is reporting it with this, you know, this gives House Republicans an avenue to attack the select committee as a partisan endeavor. But let's be super clear here. I predicted Monday that if Pelosi vetoed anyone, Kevin would take his toys and go home. So this move is not a surprise, entirely predictable, childish, stupid behavior. And as I told Andrew on Cleanup on Aisle 45 that came out yesterday, I was frankly surprised McCarthy even nominated anyone because that gave it legitimacy and from the Republicans. And regardless of whether Nancy vetoed anyone, the GOP was always going to rail against the sham commission. So any consideration about how McCarthy would react to a veto shouldn't have ever been part of any discussion. And I applaud Pelosi for making those veto choices.
100%.
It's clear that McCarthy nominated untenable criminals to bait the speaker to veto them. And his plan the whole time was to never participate in this, in his own undoing, which is what this commission is. Now, McCarthy has declared that he will form his own committee. Well, I'm going to make my own Twitter. I'm going to make my own Facebook. Yeah, that really works out well for fucking Republicans. And everyone's going to ignore it because no one listens to criminals when they investigate themselves.
He was such a tool, even on the press conference when one of the reporters brought up the question about his phone call. And he's like, if you're going to focus on that, now that's how you show it's a partisan issue and you're making this political. I'm like, you're a fucking witness, you jackass. Okay.
I know.
I can't. And speaking of other jackasses, we're going back to Florida. So the Republican Party of Florida is investigating a chair now. His name is Joe Gruters, in connection with a sexual harassment allegation involving a legislative staffer amid complaints from top party officials that the accusation was covered up. So four party officials and an additional source who works with the Republican Party of Florida told Politico Tuesday morning that the allegation stemmed from an evening at Tallahassee Bar during the 2021 legislative session. Sources say a male aide offered to drive Gruters home from the bar, and at some point Gruters allegedly sexually harassed the aide. A formal complaint was filed with the state party shortly after the incident. So there's some layers to this whole story, yeah, which yeah. I think is really interesting.
Yeah. A little bit of a, oh, really? A male aide? Oh,
interesting. Oh, okay. Yes. Now, in a statement released Tuesday night, the party said the accusation was investigated for 3 months before the independent law firm tasked with conducting the probe concluded it was, quote, unable to substantiate the allegations and no accuser with firsthand knowledge was willing to come forward with a complaint or allegations of harassment or other misconduct. So Gruters, who's 44, is a close ally of the former guy and spoke at the former president's rally earlier this month in Sarasota. Now, that's a city he also represents in the Florida Senate. Prior to joining the Florida Senate in 2018, he served in the Florida House for 2 years. Party treasurer Mike Moberly Tuesday morning confirmed the general outlines of the allegations to Politico, adding that he was aware of the probe, but he couldn't comment further until the investigation is completed. So this is very interesting because I guarantee this motherfucker has voted in the Senate against LGBTQ rights.
100% that he has. And now, of course, they hired a private personal law firm to investigate and they couldn't substantiate the allegations.
Imagine that. That's so weird.
Maybe McCarthy could appoint someone to look into it.
Maybe Jim Jordan will look. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. He likes to turn the other way with sexual harassment charges.
He sure does. Next up, Senate Republicans blocked a vote Wednesday to start a debate on a $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill as they push for more time to strike a deal with Democrats and basically shit all over and whitewash the legislation. Although that's, I'm paraphrasing. The vote was 49 to 51, short of the 60 votes needed to advance the measure. But lawmakers said in their negotiations, they will intensify over the next few days with the goal of trying again to advance the measure by early next week. A group of 22 Democratic and Republican senators said after the vote that they are close to a final agreement. Chill, everyone. And they are optimistic we'll finalize and be prepared to advance this historic bipartisan proposal to strengthen America's infrastructure and create good-paying jobs in the coming days. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer defended his decision to set up the vote despite Republican opposition, pointing out that the bipartisan group has spent more than a month negotiating. He said Wednesday, the bipartisan negotiators are close to finalizing their product and that GOP senators should feel comfortable voting to move forward. Quote, we all want the same thing here, to pass bipartisan infrastructure. But in order to finish, we first need to start.
I think that's fair, yeah. Schumer. I think that's fair.
Yeah, the bipartisan effort is one of a two-track strategy to advance the White House's sweeping economic agenda. The Democrats are doing their own $3.5 trillion package using budget reconciliation. Democrats have suggested that some elements of the bipartisan plan could be rolled into the Democrat-only package if they can't advance the narrower measure. But some moderate Democrats are already wary of the eye-popping price tag. Virginia, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has balked at adding trillions more to the debt and at some of the provisions addressing the production of fossil fuels. Pressed on his concerns with climate portions of the proposal, Manchin emphasized Wednesday that other nations are and will become the major contributors to climate change. So we shouldn't have to do anything. He didn't say that. I did. He also said that he was worried that we're hitting big, big debt. Like, oh, yeah, but you don't even understand what kind of revenue this will generate, you fucking potzer. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders predicted, however, all 50 Democratic senators will ultimately support the budget resolution that would instruct committees to draft the $3.5 trillion legislation. But now Bernie started at six. I tweeted this last month. Bernie started at six.
Uh-huh.
The Republicans were at $1 trillion. And then I said, okay, so now we're going to end up with the Republicans not doing shit because they never do. And even when they say they're going to, they don't. So it'll come back. It'll come down to $4 trillion. And then we'll have to make Joe Manchin happy. So it'll be $3 trillion. So watch. The $3.5 trillion legislation that's on the table right now will have to be taken down to $3 trillion to make Joe Manchin feel comfortable in his big boy pants.
I'm so fucking tired of like people, single people.
Individuals.
Having so much power over what's happening in this country. It's infuriating. Holding it hostage. And thinking it was one of our own. Ugh. Not one of our own. Okay. Good news. We're going to the good news. Palate cleanser. Here you go. A federal judge on Wednesday temporarily blocked enforcement of Arkansas's ban on gender-confirming treatments for transgender youth while a lawsuit challenging the prohibition proceeds. So this is a small step, but it is a step. The American Civil Liberties Union filed a lawsuit in May asking U.S. District Judge Jay Moody in Little Rock to strike down the law that made Arkansas the first state to forbid doctors from providing gender-confirming hormone treatment, puberty blockers, or sex reassignment surgery to anyone under 18 years old, or from referring them to other providers for such treatment. The ACLU sought the preliminary injunction while its lawsuit proceeded. This is, quote, to pull this care midstream from these patients or minors would cause irreparable harm. That's what Moody said. This was the judge. Now, the law has been set to take effect July 28th. The ACLU filed the lawsuit on behalf of four transgender youth and their families, as well as two doctors who provide gender-confirming treatments. So the lawsuit argues that the prohibition would severely harm transgender youth in the state and violate their constitutional rights, AG.
Ah.
Arkansas's Republican-dominated legislature, I don't know if you remember this, we covered this before, they overrode Governor Asa, he's kind of an Asa, Hutchinson's veto of the measure. Hutchinson vetoed the ban following pleas from pediatricians, social workers, and the parents of a transgender youth who said it would harm a community already at risk for depression and suicide.
Yeah, so the legislature passed it. Asa Hutchinson vetoed it. The legislature overrode the veto.
Mm-hmm.
Then they filed lawsuit, ACLU. The law was supposed to go into effect on July 28th. It will no longer go into effect. There's a temporary ban on this law. And, you know, I mean, like, whatever happened to, like, bodily autonomy? Weren't we just reading a lawsuit brought by the Citizens United guy who didn't want kids in college to get vaccines because they have bodily autonomy?
Yeah, you also come up against a problem here that the Republican Party is basically talking out of both sides of their ass, which isn't surprising. They're saying we're banning any, you know, doctor from giving any sort of treatment before 18. But their argument about having girls participate in sports that they identify with their gender, that they have to have hormone treatment. So it's one or the other. You can't have both. Either you're saying these athletes need to have hormone treatment earlier, or you're going to ban it from the... Either way, it's bullshit.
Right.
That's my frustration, is they can't have both. In fact, neither of them are legal.
Yeah. And they might want to argue that, you know, well, you don't get bodily autonomy to refuse vaccines until you turn 18, which is what's going on in this college. And this is for trans youth.
Right.
But then why do you want to marry 15-year-old girls?
Yuck.
You know, so like...
I can't.
It's just wall after wall. But in a similar story, you just mentioned the sports thing. Louisiana lawmakers failed to override Governor John Bel Edwards' veto of their legislation that would have banned transgender athletes from competing on school sports teams. Edwards vetoed the Senate Bill 156 last month in Louisiana, which would have required athletic teams to allow athletes based on biological sex. Remember, they wanted to do inspections and shit. We talked about this.
Yep.
In vetoing the bill, Edwards said discrimination is not a Louisiana value, and this was a solution in search of a problem that simply does not exist in Louisiana. And that's so well put. So that's some good news for us.
Good news to end with before the good news, the end of the show, interrupted by an incredible interview.
Yes, and we'll be right back with that. Stick around. It's going to be Lincoln's Bible on the other side of the break.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Allison, and today's episode of The Daily Beans is brought to you by Magic Spoon Cereal. It's my favorite snack and cereal and breakfast food and everything. I absolutely love it. I've been drinking protein shakes for years, but I finally found a much more delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Magic Spoon is super nutritious and is packed with protein, but it tastes exactly like the delicious cereals from your childhood. Magic Spoon has magically 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, and it's only 140 calories. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb and GMO-free, and you can build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, blueberry, cinnamon, and peanut butter. I love the great new flavors. Combining them is delicious too. I like mixing cocoa with peanut butter or cocoa with cinnamon. It's so delicious, you all. And by the way, you pour the cereal, drink the milk after, or you can eat it as a dry snack on the go during the day. So go to magicspoon.com/dailybeans to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our code dailybeans at checkout to save $5 off your order. That offer is good now anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Welcome, Canada. But only when you use our code at checkout. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. It has a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will fully refund your money. No questions asked. There's no risk here. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/dailybeans and use code dailybeans to save $5 off. And thanks to Magic Spoon for sponsoring the show. Everybody, welcome back. I am happy today to be joined by my good friend, Lincoln's Bible, and her new podcast, The World Beneath, is absolutely amazing. You need to check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome, LB.
Thanks, AG.
So it was a fucking party at my house yesterday when Tom Barrack was indicted.
Yeah, it was a good time over here, too, let me tell you. Oh, boy.
I can't begin to explain, like, you know, I mean, I tweeted out in July 2017, like, hey, he's all polishing up the UAE the way Manafort polished up Yanukovych. And hey, he better watch his little Farah ass, you know. And here we are 2 years later. I mean, of course, I was such a baby podcaster and so new into this world of prosecutions and stuff like that. I'm like, any day now, he's going to be indicted. It takes 2 years. Okay. What are the implications? We know the implications for him, but he's got his dick in a lot of inkwells.
Yeah.
Particularly the pick, Walkoff, Ivanka, and then, of course, the Trump Organization. He could be as valuable, if not more valuable, than Weisselberg to federal prosecutors. Kushner, for example,
that's the big
all
one.
Of his
that's the big one.
Middle East stuff. And then, of course, the Middle East Marshall Plan with McFarlane, KT, and Bud McFarlane, and everybody, Copson and Flynn texting Copson from the dais of the inauguration saying, we're going to do it. We're going to build nuclear reactors in Saudi Arabia, and Eric Prince is going to guard them. That, I mean, the scope of this indictment, which is 46 pages long, is a tiny, teeny sliver of what this man is involved in. What are your thoughts on the implications for others? I think there's a lot of people shaking in their boots right now.
Oh, I think people are just peeing their pants. here's a couple things to know about Mr. Thomas Barack. We want to make sure we say his name different than Barack. This is a game that Tom Barrack has been in for decades and decades and decades and decades. Okay, everybody? From the 1970s, this man has been figuring out how to mix in the dark money of world of the Middle East, right? Across the spectrum of the Emiratis, Saudi Arabia, Qatar particularly, as well, has been a specialty of his, and U.S. business interests. Right. So there's a tremendous amount of overlap and all that. And he's very, very sophisticated in things like what you brought up about this sort of Marshall Plan that he had, which really the Middle East Marshall Plan. Here's what it was. It was this is all for Thomas Barrack and this particular set of indictments and where they're zeroing in on him with these charges. Is, as your audience may or may not know, because I know you've been informing them like crazy, this was a Saudi nuclear deal. And in order to sell Saudi nuclear technology, and they were looking to do it around Congress, which violates the 123 for a nuclear proliferation, which is, meaning that you've got to get congressional approval or congressional oversight in these kinds of nuclear deals for foreign interests, okay, or foreign nations. So this is all about the Nuclear Proliferation Act and, making sure that the United States has a really firm grasp, and specifically the Congress, a very firm grasp on where our nuclear technology is being sold or allocated. Well, that's called the gold standard. We expect everyone, all of these foreign nations, if we're going to assist or participate with them in terms of showing our, lifting our nuclear technology skirt, so to speak, and share our information with them, that they adhere to our own gold standard. Well, Saudi Arabia didn't want to do that, especially under MBS. They don't want anything to do with our gold standard. They don't give a fuck about it. And they want all different ways to get around that while still getting their hands on our nuclear technology and our resources. And Thomas Barrack was making that dream come true for them. With he created this ridiculous, or he was partnered with this ridiculous company. What was it? IP? What the hell was that name? IP3?
Yeah, IP3, Copson, then Copson fell out, and they were going to build like a test nuclear reactor somewhere in the southern United States.
It's literally one industry executive in the nuclear industry it names IP3 the Theranos of the nuclear industry. I mean, it's just a paper tiger. It's all fraud, right? It's a front company, with just a bunch of people that want to have their interests make money off of skirting and getting around our own.
Yeah, to funnel nuclear technology to the Saudis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what Barrack's Middle East Marshall Plan was he was going to purchase Westinghouse Electric Company. Now, this is the only U.S. manufacturer of large-scale nuclear reactors, okay? If there's a U.S. company that's actually involved in the IP3 and shifting this technology, it skirts around the scrutiny of the Committee of Foreign Investment in the United States, right, which is CFIUS.
Because it's private entity. It's not government.
But it's also a U.S. company,
stuff.
A U.S. company. Now, where was the money coming from that Thomas Barrack was going to get in order to purchase Westinghouse Electric? I don't know. Nobody knows where this money's coming from. So what everyone should just go and do right now is go get Elijah Cummings' report on all of this. It's called the Cummings Report. He put it together, I think it was in 2019. God bless that man. My God. It's all spelled out in the Oversight Committee report. And I think I just did a search for Barrack's last name in that report. And there's 149 instances where it's named in this report. And this all has to do with, it really is truly tied into everything we saw in that indictment. That he was using this foreign money, acting as a foreign agent, basically not even failed to register FARA. He was full on a foreign agent, a spy, and using his influence and contacts within the Trump administration. Mnuchin is named in this. Wilbur Ross is named in this. Gary Cohn is named in this. Jared Kushner is named in this. All of these motherfuckers were all involved in this because it was a vast amount of money. Now, back to Thomas Barrett being a fucketeer of the fucketeers, right? Meaning he's been in the business of swimming in this sort of dirty, dirty landscape of working with foreign intelligence services, pulling off these great big deals. He was swimming with Saudi arms dealers for God knows how long and trying to funnel money into the Middle East from the U.S. and technology, as well as funnel money from the Middle East into the U.S. and to U.S.-based companies that he owned or participated in ownership. That's this guy's entire business model. Real estate, we all know what role real estate plays in being this sort of shelter for anyone having eyes into where money's coming from, especially if it's going through offshore.
Yeah, Italy investigated him for his colony 4 years ago.
Colony also was named in the Cummings report. He was trying to use colony as a front for all of this. So this is all. This man is in deep, deep, deep trouble. Now, what is it? You had another question. What does it sort of mean to be pulling on him? In terms of our Justice Department.
Yeah, like how does that implicate? Because, you know, you mentioned the Cummings report. That came out July 29, 2019. And happy anniversary almost to the to that report. That was also the same month that Mueller testified. It was a lot of stuff going on in the spring and summer of 2019. But you and I have been talking about this since 2017. So when that oversight committee report came out, you know, today's reveals new and extensive evidence that corporate and foreign interests seek to influence U.S. nuclear policy towards Saudi Arabia. I tweeted, yeah, no shit. We covered this in episode 6 in 2017. It's called the Middle East Marshall Plan. And I actually put Tom Barrack and Al Malik, along with Manafort and Gates, were also involved. Look for FARA charges against Barrack if Barr allows it. That's what I tweeted back in 2019.
Good for you.
And I know it wasn't specifically under FARA, although this statute is considered a FARA statute.
It does, but
the difference being that he was being directed by high level officials at UAE.
That's right.
He wasn't just sort of broadly lobbying on behalf of Turkey, aka Flynn.
Right, or an individual that is not connected to the intelligence services or the sovereign family. Right, it's that falls under FARA too. It could just be a businessman or a bank or something like that that you need to register for. So, okay.
But this came, you know, my question is how this implicates other people.
Yeah.
When Mueller was interviewing Gates, New York Times is reporting Mueller handed this to the Eastern District of New York. And it's one of those 14 behind redaction bars in Appendix D of handed off shit. And, you know, Gates, the judge, when they were sentencing Gates, they were like gushing about his substantial assistance in the Manafort matter, and then said, and also several other ongoing matters. And I think that includes this, but you know, that's all speculation, but this implicates so many people around the Trump orbit, doesn't it?
That's right. Let's remind everyone that when Gates was in the sort of administration, in with the campaign and doing all that. And then he was like, he ran for the hills, right? And where did he run? He ran to Barrack. He started working for him. And so Gates actually was in there in Barrack's, I believe he was at Colony North Star, which was one of the colony companies involved in all this. So I'll have to double check that. But he was working for Thomas Barrack and with Thomas Barrack. And then he ended up going back in and kind of being with Jared a little bit after that. So they were moving Gates around, keeping him close by after Manafort had been sort of ejected into outer space out of the campaign. I think this all gets into, let's go back to that question of who does this implicate? I want to be I'm very excited about this, but I want everyone also to be very measured about this.
Yes.
So Barrack actually has quite a lot that he can trade for Manafort and for Flynn. And so it's going to be up to our Justice Department whether they're going to let him out of, because he will trade. This man loves Santa Barbara. He loves Montecito. He loves his yachts. He loves his celebrity friends. He loves whatever that weird smelling lotion is he slathers his body with. Yes, I have met this man. I've been in a room with him. It was 15 years ago. I have my sources still say, yes, he still has that strange smell about him. So, you know, he likes his good, fine life. He really, really does. And so he's not, I can't even believe he's allowing himself to be detained. I'll be very, until they transfer him to New York, I'm going to be very curious whether the judge in New York allows him to be arraigned on bail. He is a high flight risk. This guy, I'm telling you, he will sing to the rafters.
Oh, yeah. He's not like a Weisselberg who was born
Weisselberg was born to go to prison. Know? That's my line. Manafort was born to go to prison. These are made men. Mm-hmm. They have been in organized crime since birth. They know the rules in the play. Thomas Barrack is a fucketeer. He's got a Rolodex that spans the globe. He knows Jeffrey. He knew Jeffrey Epstein very well. Paul Manafort and Epstein and Barrack were running buddies. So it, much like how Epstein traded on his contacts into intelligence, his contacts into arms deals, and dealership around the world and in organized crime, don't think that Thomas Barrack doesn't have a Rolodex even with a bigger and broader reach and has knowledge that goes even way deeper than anything that Jeffrey Epstein had. So he will trade on all of that. It's going to be up to our Justice Department whether they're going to accept Manafort as a scalp or Flynn as a scalp. Because I think that's the first place that he's going to start before he touches on Kushner or Trump or anyone in the Trump family. There's other people swimming around that. You know, look, also in that coming, again, go read the Cummings report, everybody. Apollo and Leon Black is soup to nuts in there, right? Blackstone, soup to nuts in there. So Swartzman is on the table. Leon Black is on the table. All of these characters are on the table. And there is indication that some of them are under investigation and some of them, like Leon Black, for the crossover into the Ghislaine Maxwell case, okay? So this is what this world is. Don't think it's not this world. This is the underworld. It is the world beneath us. It is the intersection of really illegal, dark, bloody money and foreign intelligence and the aims and goals of hostile nation states. Okay, that Thomas Barrack sits right in the center of a lot of that, and he has for decades and decades and decades. He will trade on that. If they let him,
because he's a huge target. He's a big fish. He's not somebody that they're just getting to roll on other people. And I do want to keep talking. I also want you to finish your thought. And I'm sorry for interrupting you.
That's okay.
And I want to talk about Qatar and the Qatar Investment Authority and the blockade, but I have to take a quick break. Will you stay with me?
Yeah.
Thank you. Everybody, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's AG for the Beans. One thing I've learned from doing this podcast is that entrepreneurs can have a gargantuan impact on the world and on a local and global scale, too. Like Boll & Branch, they started with a mission, right? To produce the highest quality sheets on the market, make them comfortable and wonderful, and make the world a better place in the process. They were founded in 2014 by a husband and wife team named Scott and Missy Tannen, and they wanted to give sleepers more choices for high quality sheets at a fair price. Boll & Branch partners with family-owned businesses that align with the same values and standards that we care about here at the Daily Beans. Their ultra-soft organic sheets are transparently sourced and produced in safe, fair conditions with toxin-free processes and fair trade certification to ensure workers are paid fair living wages. And you'll feel the difference, too. And you know you're making one. My Boll & Branch sheets look and feel so amazing. The ultra-refined luxe fabric has the spectacular drape that's wonderful. It's got the silken feel, which I love. Boll & Branch has an incredible variety of the most high-quality sheets, and their buttery, soft, lightweight, 100% organic cotton sateen weave is perfect for all seasons, and it comes in a variety of colors and sizes, from twin up to Cal King. So to experience the best sheets you've ever felt, choose Boll & Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights with free shipping and returns. And listeners get an exclusive 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code DAILYBEANS at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L and branch.com, and use promo code DAILYBEANS. And today's episode is brought to you by Context Travel. I am so excited that the world is opening back up for travel again. And if you're like me, you're probably already planning your first trip. The absolute best place to start your journey is Context Learning. With Context, I'm already learning about all the destinations I plan to visit. It's like getting an insider knowledge of the go-to places for my next big trip long before I even hop on the plane. They run live expert-led courses and virtual tours and lectures, too. But they do this around the globe. Travel with Context across the globe to over 60 cities across 6 continents. visiting the world's cultural and historical capitals. I'm so pumped for this. The last time I got a chance to travel overseas, I learned so much about history and my family. And for me, exploring new places has always been an amazing learning experience. And the best part about Context is you get to skip the line and off-hours access to popular sites. On any given day, you can uncover ancient Rome with an actual archaeologist, or go behind the Velvet Rope in the Louvre with an art expert, or walk the streets of St. Petersburg with a local guide, all from home. I've already taken an FDR lecture, and I hit it off so well with the professor who gave it, and who also happens to be a friend of Steve Laddick. We're going to have him on the podcast, and I'm going to appear on his podcast. It was such a cool learning experience. Next, I want to visit Egypt, and I want to do that virtually with a Context tour. I'm signing up for these left and right because I love them. Listen to Susan in LA, who said about one of the testimonials. She said, this tour was like a walking TED Talk, massively informative and entertaining. Can't wait to recommend it. So Daily Beans listeners, if you love travel and learning as much as I do, you're going to love this. For a limited time, when you buy one virtual tour, you'll get a second tour free when you use promo code Daily Beans, all one word, at contextlearning.com. That's C-O-N-T-E-X-T learning.com. And again, use promo code Daily Beans, all one word, at contextlearning.com. Everybody, welcome back. We're talking with the host of the amazing The World Beneath podcast, Lincoln's Bible. And LB, I rudely cut you off in mid-thought before we went to break, but I had to take a break. Can you please continue? Because you were saying his Rolodex and he's profound and et cetera. And we were kind of talking about how, yes, but he is definitely a target, and we don't know whether the DOJ will. I mean, with the pardons on the books, you know, it might be moot to look into Flynn and Manafort. But what were you? What was the rest of the thought that you wanted to finish there?
I actually think I finished it, but I think it's just sort of really grounding everybody in the reality of who this man is and what he can trade. And so it is going to be for his own liberty and freedom. It is going to be up to the Justice Department to determine where they want to cap his value off for them. If they want to just go back in and do more on Manafort and Flynn has quite an extensive pardon. Maybe they want to challenge those pardons. I don't, you know, who knows what the strategy of the Justice Department is. I am hopeful that this will touch on Kushner. Kushner is so filthy, and he committed so many crimes, and he's such a national security risk just running around out there. So hopefully national security and the priority of national security will come into play above and beyond anything else. And if that is at the foremost of the Justice Department's and Merrick Garland's agenda is actually protecting this nation against these rogue criminals who got themselves into the halls of power for 4 years and had their dirty little, you know, mobbed up money grubbing fingers digging through all of our intelligence and selling that off to whatever bone saw regime they wanted to sell it off to in order to get out of their own debt because they didn't know how to run a goddamn business. Right. And I'm speaking of Kushner specifically.
Yeah. The 666 Fifth Avenue building.
Right, all of that. Right.
And this is an excellent segue into the Qatar and CIA, Qatar Investment Authority information. Do you think that we know for a fact that Barrack was being investigated for his fishy shit with QIA? And we know already, we've talked extensively about the weird timeline about the Saudi blockade with Qatar, and then it was okay. And we have a major base in Qatar, and we were sort of going against them from policy that was probably driven by Barrack. And, you know, we had that weird timeline of, the blockade is lifted. Oh, and a whole bunch of billions of dollars went to bail out Kushner Company for their devil building in New York. That whole weird timeline, we know about that. So, I mean, is that sort of where you think that they could? I feel like they wouldn't even really need Barrack to go after Kushner if they have all this on Barrack, but I assume it would be a really great help.
Oh, they need him. Yeah. I to go after Jared Kushner and start pulling on that because of who he truly is. And I think we'll learn a lot more about who Jared Kushner really, really is in the coming months and years with stark clarity. They're going to need every piece of ammunition they can get their hands on to really fully take that guy down. I'm sorry to say that. I know I'm not trying to be ominous about it all. It just, this is a very intricate, very delicate situation that encompasses, quite frankly, some of our friends and allies. And so it's going to be it's going to be tricky around Jared. They need this. They need Barrack. But again, we are going to need to make sure. And I do think that the Justice Department, the Garland Justice Department, they seem to have an acute self-awareness. you were dragging them about the Wilbur Ross thing. And then, they had to come out with a statement right away of like, oh, this wasn't under us. This wasn't under us. So they seem to be paying quite close attention on what's important to us and what we are aware of. And I think it's very important that we continue to keep raising our voices, not for vengeance. This isn't about vengeance. These people were fucking criminals, right? The Trump administration right. And those kids and that Jared Kushner, they're criminals. It's a criminal organization. Our national security is at risk. Every moment they're walking around free. And so, that's the whole point of it. Who cares? I don't care. I truly don't care about politics, guys. I don't give a damn about any of these policy agendas around, Trump going to whatever he stood for, he wasn't even a politician. He was a president of the United States because a bunch of knuckle-dragging buffoons put him in there. And because of, he had a lot of help from foreign intelligence services getting his ass in there. But, he's a criminal. This is a criminal, and not a criminal like the Republicans were saying Hillary or anybody else was a criminal for years in order to do their bullshit propaganda. This man is a launderer for organized crime syndicates. He has been for decades. It's very, very bad. He's still owned and controlled by those same syndicates. They have their reach now into the highest offices in several different nations. It's a threat to our national security, and we need him in prison and silenced, muzzled, stick him in a hole, right? It's just a threat. He's a threat. Jared Kushner is a vast threat to this nation. So, come and get me for saying this stuff, but it is the obvious stuff to say, and we need to be saying it, and we need our Justice Department to make that the priority instead of worrying about whether you're going to upset some oath keepers somewhere. I don't give a fuck, right? Put him in jail. Muzzle him, right? They know too much. They had their hands in too much. And find out what they shared, right? We need to know what they went around sharing. I'm very concerned about the Khashoggi stuff. Still, I still don't think that's off the table in any of this morass, right, of Middle East fuckery with the MBS and with the frankly, Vladimir Putin standing right behind him, clapping and cheering. So come on, everybody, get it together. We can't have this. We can't have this. We can't have our national security threatened like this any longer. So, yeah, they're going to need Barrack. They're going to need every single one of them that will sing. Every single one.
Yeah, and I hope they learn their lesson from allowing Donald to be elected president anyway. He didn't just become a criminal after he got into the White House.
He probably crimed less in the White House than he did over his entire life. For God's sakes. Right? Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. But everyone was just sort of looking around, holding their dick, like, what do we do? Who do we even tell? How do we stop this?
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe Biden could stop it, a lot of it. He can declassify a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He could declassify it in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So that would be nice. I'd like to see Donald's confidential informant file. Bring it out.
That would be interesting. That would be real interesting, wouldn't it? I would just shock the shit out of everybody. What? Oh, man. Okay. Well, Elvie, I really appreciate your time today. We're going to see what else comes out of this investigation. We're also keeping a close eye on Gates and Rudy and Ukraine and Eastern District, Southern District, all of these different investigations. And I'm so happy that I will say this about the Merrick Garland Justice Department. If any of these offices, like in the Barrack case, were sort of hanging back a little bit until Barr and Rosen and Trump were out and no one could be pardoned, fucking thank you. And allowing the execution of the search warrant on Rudy to go forward.
Yeah.
Allowing these indictments to go forward. Because, I know that this was the Eastern District of New York, but they couldn't have indicted Barrack without going up through some of the top ranks, at least in the public corruption department division of the Department of Justice. But we will see what happens. And of course, I know that you will have your finger on the pulse of it. Everybody follow Lincoln's Bible on Twitter at Lincoln's Bible and listen to The World Beneath. You will not be sorry. Thanks so much for your time, LB.
Thank you, AG.
Everybody stick around. We'll be right back with the good news. Hello, everyone. It's Allison Gill, and this final segment of The Beans is brought to you by Blue Blocks. How many hours a day do you spend staring at your screen? Do you get that little report that pops up on your phone that says you spend hours a day looking at your screens? Well, I tell you what, I was spending so much time on my screen, all these screens, all day, looking at the news, looking at social media, looking at Excel spreadsheets and business documents. I was getting watery eyes and fatigue and headaches. But thankfully, I found the solution to my blue light blues. And the answer is Blue Blocks, B-L-U-B-L-O-X. I love these things. They have a variety of amazing glasses designed to solve a variety of specific problems. I personally got the blue light computer glasses with clear lenses for headaches, sore eyes, digital eye strain, watery eyes, and fatigue. They're easy to use. You just wear them. You just wear your blue light computer glasses during the day when you're working on screens, or if you're under artificial light, they help too. They also have glasses to help with migraine, stress, anxiety, and low mood, and they have others that help with poor sleep, fatigue, low energy, and even jet lag. Blue Blocks' stylish frames have been featured in GQ magazine and Vogue, so they look great, and their science-backed technology is tested to ensure they actually work. We love science at Daily Beans, and that's unlike other blue light glasses that are out there right now. They've really helped me with my digital eye strain. It's a massive difference that I've noticed. And I can work on the computer all day without any freakouts or Zoom incidents. With glasses for every need, Blue Blocks glasses come in non-prescription, prescription, and reading options too. And they also have low-light blue light bulbs, red light therapy devices, and 100% blackout sleep masks, which I love and I have. They're all backed by science, which is awesome. Blue Blocks ships worldwide in rapid time and always has easy returns and exchanges. Go to blueblocks.com/dailybeans and use coupon code dailybeans, all one word, to save 15% off your order. That's blueblocks, blueblocks.com/dailybeans, and use coupon code dailybeans to save 15%. And today's show is also brought to you by the LA Times. Weekday mornings, the story begins in California. The Times, a daily news podcast from the Los Angeles Times, gives you a West Coast perspective on the stories shaping policy and opinion around the country. Join host Gustavo Arellano and a diverse range of voices every weekday morning as they cover the critical issues like only a team reporting from California can. From immigration to income inequality, climate change to racial justice, nativism to technology, The Times explores the contradictions and hard truths of the Golden State and the nation through a West Coast perspective. Plus, I personally put some beans on it that you will enjoy the unique stories and the in-depth coverage as much as I do. I really value this podcast. Through interviews and original stories, The Times, Daily News from the LA Times, is the podcast you need to understand the world and how California shapes it. Because if an issue that's in California isn't in your town yet, it will be soon. Expect award-winning reporting, hard-hitting investigations, and LA eccentricities from the biggest newspaper west of the Mississippi. New episodes of The Times are available every weekday. To listen and subscribe, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for The Times, Daily News from LA Times. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news. Well, and if you have any good news, confessions, corrections, you want to play any of our games, you want to have a dispute settled in Amy's court on Fridays with Amy Carrero, anything, any of the things, any new games, all of it, you send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. Dana, I'm going to kick us off with Geek Gumbo.
Please do.
Geek Gumbo, pronouns he and him. Gang names. Okay, so one of our new games is Aryan Nation Gang Name Generator. Because some of the gang, like there was a 16 person indictment in Florida from a white supremacist group, and their names were like Shrek and Scumbag and Chain Gang, and like they were just so stupid. All right, so gang names, says Geek Gumbo: Truck Nuts, Rand Lava, Lil Fact Checks. I like that. Lil Fact Checks.
I like that too.
Insult: vote for Ted Cruz. I'd rather eat barbed wire till it came out of my ass and floss myself to death. Ow.
Well, there you have it. Ow, that's right.
Three, random fact compliment. Dana has taken over the august and noble title of news lesbian from Rachel amongst my friends.
Oh my God, please don't say that out loud, but thank you, Geek Gumbo. I'll take it. Oh my God.
Pet tax is my buddy Fezzik. Anybody want a peanut? He's a Newfoundland puppy, a Newfie puppy. And look, even put anybody want a peanut before got to it.
That's really funny. Ugh.
Dude, we're on the same wavelength. Geek Gumbo, look at this baby.
Geek Gumbo, best movie, Princess Bride.
Gonna be big.
I feel like that bonds people together. When The Princess Bride is your favorite movie, you know you're amongst good elk. You know what I mean?
Yep, 100%, 100%. Yep. That's what's going to bring this nation together, The Princess Bride.
That's right. All right, this next one's from Izzy, pronoun she and her, the happy little old lady married to the one I am still in love with and still in like with. That's the title.
Oh, good.
Good news. Humans are kind again. Yes, indeed. Being a longtime listener and a longtime lover of your plural intelligence and humor, I had to share this wee bit of return to normalcy. Our vehicle had a rough day yesterday. It stalled out as we were pulling out of a parking spot. One by one, four people stopped to give a hand, offer helpful advice, hold the flashlight, and offer us the use of the phone. Aw, every one of these folks had nothing but kindness in their hearts and their actions. There is hope for the future. For my pod pet tax, I give you my very silly, twisted grand kitty Garfunkel. Just such a good name. Garfunkel loves to play fetch and will do just about anything to make us laugh. The second pod pet is one of our local larger pets, a young buck in velvet. I love these big, quote unquote, pets. Thanks for your show that keeps us all informed and chuckling all at the same time. Remember, a chuckle a day keeps the doctor away.
Indeed.
Oh my God, look at the kitty.
Nice nip-nops.
Garfunkel's adorable.
Dude. Oh, there's a fuzzy deer.
It is a fuzzy deer.
Hello.
Literally with fuzzy antlers.
I'm wondering where you live too, because I have to tell you, Issy, when I went and did the Maine Comedy Festival in Bethel, Maine. And when one of the comedians, it's like 10 comedians in a house, an Airbnb house on a lake. It is a riot. It's a fucking laugh riot.
That sounds amazing.
Ian Harvey hosts it.
Oh, right. Of course.
And so we get there and the last comedian's rolling into the driveway, but she turns too early and ends up in the ditch.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden people are driving down this road, two lane sort of paved road on a lake. And one person stops and they get out of their car. And then another person stops and they're like, "Hey, oh, hey, everything okay?" And, and, you know, Ian's like, "Someone's in my doyad." And then there's like 10 Mainers now within 15 minutes, all lined up on the sides of her little Geo Metro, pulling it out of the ditch.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's just such a wonderful friendliness. I love it there in Maine. All right, next up from Matt, pronouns he and him. More names for white supremacist gang members. Oath Kiefer.
Nice.
Third Reich Rick. Blood Libel Fievel. Oh God, that's awful.
Oh my God.
Maureen Le Pen 15. I get it, Pen 15. That's penis. Plante Sean, 12 years of Dave.
Oh my God.
Marguerite Taylor Green, and the gang's mascot, a turkey named Goebbels. Okay, I like the Goebbels turkey.
Well done, Matt. Well done. All right. Let's see what we got here. We just have a note from for Anonymous. This is a note for Anonymous, whose pronouns are he and him. We were unable to load your video of Mila eating some popcorn. So if you could please resubmit your What the Mutt to hello@mullershewrote.com. We just need to see that little bit of joy. So if you could send that to us, that would be wonderful. And let me take the next one and you can the one after that. All right.
Yeah.
This one's from Patrick, pronouns he and him. Dear pod friends, there are my top five lame Florida gang member nicknames. And I came up with in a stream of consciousness burst while falling asleep last night. First one, Flop Sweat. Hilarious. Cousin Kisser. Fester is the third one. Boogalooser. And Weak Sauce. I really like Weak Sauce.
Good. Yeah, dude, right. I kind of want that middle name almost.
Jim Weak Sauce Jones. That's right. Okay, attached is my pet tax, the newest member of our pack named Dougal, or Doogie the Doggy. We drove 400 miles last Friday to adopt him and couldn't be happier about it. No need to guess the breed. It's as pretty as easy as he is Newfoundland. The pick doesn't really show his size. He's 130 pounds.
Look at this baby.
That baby's a big doggo.
Arbobobo. It's like, reminds me when I go to Steph Miller's house and when, you know, because I grew up with Pyrenees and they'll stand up and put their feet on your shoulders and they're taller than you. It's awesome. Next up, did you see her new puppy she got?
I did. Austin. Yes.
So adorable. Oh my gosh.
I don't know if that's the right name. Austin's either the second name because it's two names. It's either the first or second. All of a sudden I'm going blank.
I can't remember. But
Austin's in love with Jamie. The dog's in love with Jamie.
Oh, that's so good. Go check out Steph Miller's Twitter feed. You'll find the dog. Greetings, Beans Brigade, from Lisa, pronouns she and her. Want to start off by saying how awesome the podcast is. Daily Beans, Mueller, She Wrote are always a must listen for me. I really appreciate your focus on the court cases and always find your analysis spot on. Well, thank you. I recently heard AG talk a little bit about how she spent the 80s and 90s, boots and braces don't make a racist, and I thought she might appreciate my good news since I am turning 50 at the end of this year. That's not the good news part, she says. I've decided to have a small midlife crisis. My new Vespa arrived last week. Woohoo! I haven't rode a scooter since 1993 and I'm having a blast terrorizing the roadways. It really is like riding a bicycle. I've included a pic from 1990 and today, plus my pet tax. This is my cat named Stop It Cat and Torty Pancake. Here's a twist on your game. Can you guess the breed of the cat and or tortoise? Oh, tortoise, not Torty Cat. Tortoise. So guess the breed of the cat and the turtle. Tortoise. Excuse me. I know they're different.
I'm just letting you go because some of these couple of submissions have gotten me tongue-tied too.
She says, stay sharp. That's S-H-A-R-P, Skinheads Against Racial Prejudice. I love this. Thank you so much. P.S. I'd also like to recommend the books No Free Speech for Fascists by David Renton and A Brief History of Fascist Lies by Federico Finkelstein. Ah, yeah. Look at that.
That is a cool human on a Vespa right there.
Dude, you and I would have just totally been hanging out.
Oh my God, they're so cute, both of them. Oh, look at that tortoise.
I wonder if you're... That looks like my house in Arizona. That's weird. Did you live in Arizona? Woohoo, yay, Sharpies.
Look at that.
That's so beautiful. Scoot.
Look at these. Yeah, look at this tortoise, though. Look how gorgeous with a
cat.
Oh,
all right, let's see. Oh, my goodness.
By the way, there was no way I was going to try and guess either of these because you think I'm bad at cat breeds? Tortoise breeds fall just below that.
I was going to say the cat was a ragdoll, but the answer is a Japanese bobtail. If you included a picture of the tail, my friend, I would have been able to get that. But adorable. And the tortoise is a sulcata tortoise.
Of course, a sulcata. I was going to say a sulcata tortoise. Everybody knows.
That's like the chow chow there.
Everybody knows.
All right. Last one's for you, my friend. Yeah.
Here we go. All right. This one's from Gina. I did this last time. It's spelled J-E-N-A. So I think it's Gina. Could be Jenna. I think it's Gina. Pronoun she and her. Hello, AG, Dana, Amy, and Mandy. James Tiberius, mom again. Yes, first Dana, it's Jenna. Thank you, I should have read ahead. Okay. Jenna, pronoun she and her. You're welcome, Jenna, not Gina. I won't make that mistake again. My mom didn't think I could handle two N's. I joke I would have been a doctor instead of a lawyer. Jenna, that's hysterical because my middle name is Michelle, but there's no E at the end because my mom thought it was superfluous and not necessary. Okay, so it's whatever. Okay, this goes into my second point. I write to share a misheard idiom. For the longest time, I always talked about TASS as being as easy as shooting fish into a barrel. I was a second year law student before someone corrected me and asked what the heck I was talking about. My mental image involved a fish cannon and maybe some carnival lights. Never wondered why I thought the fish cannon was the best way to say something is easy, but English is weird. Whoops. Luckily, I did pass the bar exam. Jenna's funny. Luckily, I did pass the bar exam, even though I did get locked in the bathroom right beforehand. Bless your heart. I promise, unlike the Kraken team, I do read affidavits and verify them before submitting them to the court.
Well done.
Pet tax. Here's a photo of Beauty with her brother Beast. Oh my God. Of course they're Beauty and the Beast. Jenna's my new friend. Thanks for being awesome. Mary Trump and AG's talk on trauma helped me a lot this week.
Look at these beauty dogs.
And the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast dogs. Oh my gosh. So cute. Okay.
Jenna, thank you so much.
Shooting fish into a barrel is awesome.
James Tiberius.
I like to combine. There's a name for that. And I should look it up. I tweeted it out. But you combine these idioms into something like, people who live in glass houses shouldn't go balls to the wall.
Yeah.
The most famous one is, does the Pope shit in the woods?
Yep.
Or does the bear wear a funny hat? But yeah, misunderstood and misheard idioms are always great too. So we have a new game, Dana. If you have an idiom that you've been saying wrong this whole time, please send them in. I would love to hear it.
Thank you. Because you know what I was thinking we needed was a new game. We don't have...
Yeah, you know. I know.
Some of them are, I'm kidding. Because some of them, I think, I don't want to say they're losing their luster, but I think people might be getting burned down on them. So to bring in new games that are really fun and people that never submit sometimes get, inspired by new games. So I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Misheard idiom. So if you've been saying something, a common phrase wrong all these years and how you were corrected and why that's hilarious, please send it to us at dailybeanspod.com. Click on contact. Any final thoughts before we get out of here today, Dana?
No, I am. I'm just grateful for the podcast. I know I don't say that often enough, but it really helps me in the days where I'm not doing as well as I'd like to be. So thank you for today.
Well, we love you too. And everybody, Amy will be with me tomorrow. And until then, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of the planet, and take care of your mental health. I've been Allison Gill.
And I've been Dana Goldberg.
And them's the beans. The Daily Beans is written and executive produced by Allison Gill, with additional research and reporting by Dana Goldberg and Amy Carrero. Sound design and editing is by Desiree McFarlane, with art and web design by Joelle Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. Music for The Daily Beans is written and performed by They Might Be Giants, and the show is a proud member of the MSW Media Network, a collection of creator-owned podcasts dedicated to news, politics, and justice. For more information, please visit mswmedia.com.
Hi, I'm Harry Littman, host of Talking Feds, a roundtable that brings together prominent figures from government law and journalism for a dynamic discussion of the most important topics of the day. Each Monday, I'm joined by a slate of Feds favorites and new voices to break down the headlines and give the insider's view of what's going on in Washington and beyond, plus sidebars explaining important legal concepts read by your favorite celebrities. Find Talking Feds wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing on the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.